Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, Birmingham, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, we're going to invite you to stay tuned. Could be the most important 30 minutes of your life. The Flatline. Our show's about motivation, inspiration, and education, and we always do it without any manipulation. You hear me say that many times if you've listened before, but sometimes there are people listening for the very first time. And we want them to know that we're not after their money. We don't have anything from the giant or join up, as people say. We just want you to listen to the Word of God as we talk about it in a normal manner, in a way that might be intriguing to you. I'm not some weirdo radio preacher that's going to stand up here in the radio station and shout and wave a Bible. I think the first time I ever did this show, some of the dignitaries with the station set in the studio with me, and they said, well, you're normal. You're not a weirdo. And no, I'm not a weirdo. I'm just a normal guy. I'm Rick Hughes. I'm from Birmingham, Alabama, and this is a radio show that God has allowed me to have. It's been a wonderful show because we've been teaching the principles of the Flatline, forward line of troops. That's deploying the problem-solving devices of the Word of God into the flat line of your soul so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. Stress in the life of the believer in Jesus Christ is not normal. There's a way to live stress-free. There's a way to have an abundant life, a joy-filled life, where you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be full of guilt, you don't have to be angry. This is called the Christian life. And as you learn the Word of God and deploy the Word of God into the forward compartments of your soul, you're able to live a life like this. You don't have to go fishing to get rid of your stress. You don't have to listen to music to get rid of your stress. You just simply don't have stress. What a great way to live. And that's why we teach the deployment of the problem-solving devices of the Word of God onto the flat line of your soul. The first problem-solving device is rebound. It's confessing your sin. It handles the problem of sin. The second problem-solving device is the filling of the Holy Spirit that handles the energy of the flesh and what you do in the energy of the flesh that is null and void as far as God's concerned because He can't use it. And then the faith rest drill, and that solves the problem of disaster when it hits your life. And then biblical orientation and grace orientation and even having a personal sense of destiny. That's a door by which you leave your agenda and move into God's agenda. Virtue love, like impersonal love for others and personal love for God, and +8, sharing the happiness of God, and occupation with Christ. These are all problem-solving devices that we have talked about on this radio show. I've spent a lot of weeks teaching you this information, and I thank you for listening. I thank you for letting me have 30 minutes out of your day. There's nothing that I'm asking you for other than for you to tune in and to listen and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior and my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now today, I want to do something a little out of the ordinary. I want to interview a friend of mine. I told you last week he was in the station, in the studio with me here at WERC, and his name is Dennis Deason. And Dennis was an offensive lineman, like myself, just not as good looking as me, but he was an offensive lineman at the University of Alabama, a 1992 national championship team that defeated Miami in the Orange Bowl. And Dennis, thank you for being on the flat line.
You're welcome.
Glad to have you here. Now, Dennis, actually, those of you that have listened to this show before know that I only stayed 1 year at Alabama, and Dennis actually went ahead and finished his career. And so, he's a real hero in the football world, and it's great to have him. His father and I played football together in high school. And his father, I think I mentioned this to you last week, but his father owns a restaurant down in Pelham called In Cahoots, and it's a great place to go eat. But we don't have any sponsors of this radio show, so we're not trying to plug it, but just a great place to eat and a great friend of mine. Dennis, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about how you and I got back together after a gap of some 10 or 15 years? How this happened for you to be seated in the studio with me here today?
Well, it's an amazing thing. I was talking with my wife, and we've been discussing wanting to get back into church or back into learning the Word. And I felt like there was a period in my life when I was a child where I learned a lot, and I had a big gap where I wasn't learning anything. So we're on our way to church one Sunday morning, and I turn my truck on. It's already on 960. And a voice on the radio I recognized, and I turned to my wife, and I said, "Hey, that's Mr. Hughes. I hadn't talked to you in several years, and it's amazing that I recognize the voice, but there you were." And I sat there and listened to you, and it was great, and I wanted to hear more. So ends up 2 weeks later, I run into you at the boat show. I mean, what's the chances of that?
That was really strange, wasn't it?
It really was. And I told Julia, I said, "You know, I heard him on the radio, and I didn't know how to contact him, and I was going to write you a letter, and there you are." And I was so excited to talk to you, and I've talked to you several times since then and listened to your show. And it's the things I want to hear. And I listen to you, and I hear it, and I know it's the right things.
Well, you know, we've been talking about evil and the doctrine of evil and how evil can be one of two things. Last week I read a letter from a fellow that's on death row in the state of Arizona who got involved in drug abuse, and that led into the occult. And since we're taping these shows, obviously you were in here with me when we did this, but evil can be, you know, you've heard me say, you even asked me, how is it that all sin is evil, but all evil is not sin?
Right.
And that was something you had a hard time understanding. So that's why I wanted to explain this to people, is that evil is a system of thinking. Evil is the genius of Satan. It's when he takes truth and twists it. And when evil can be sin also, and drug abuse is sin and it's evil. The occult is sin and it's evil because it's a new way of thinking. It captures a person's mind. And remember, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Now, what grace wants to do is grace wants to give you a new way of thinking. Grace wants to give you the Word of God. And the verse that's really clear about that is in Philippians 2:5. It says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." So the underlying concept is grace wants you to learn to think like Christ thought. So here he was, a human in the devil's world, facing organized religion, and they were the ones that hated him, the scribes and the Pharisees, and yet he didn't react, he didn't get bitter, etc. So evil can be a violation of the law, such as evil sin, or evil just can be a principle or a policy that Satan gets people captured under, like organized religion. And they think they're doing the will of God. They think they're going to go to heaven. But remember, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." And so with that in mind, and we've been talking about these things, one of the most evil things that people get trapped in is a Christian life where they don't learn anything.
Right.
It's all ritual without reality. And it's meaningless. So what have you seen in your life in regards to this ritual without reality and wanting to learn truth and trying to learn the mechanics of the Word of God? I mean, you played football at Alabama. You understand you got to have mechanics if you're going to start. We used that analogy last week. But in the Christian life, very few people learn mechanics. What do you think about that?
Well, I was fortunate. I have a father that teaches me from the Bible. And I'll sit there. I've visited a lot of different churches. And I'll hear the pastor, and I hear things that just doesn't fit. And to me, that kind of turns me off, and I've been looking for someone that would teach me exactly what the Bible's telling me. And that's what I found with you. And I just really want to learn more, and fortunately I can ask you questions. And what you described to me a while ago, I didn't understand, and now I understand it, and that just makes me want to learn more.
Well, that's one thing we can go fishing in. We can talk about the Bible as we go fishing. But usually when I'm bass fishing and start talking about the Bible, the devil makes the fish start biting. So we had to quit talking about the Bible and start catching the fish. But you've been involved in church for a while. By the way, matter of fact, you're married. Your wife, Julie,
right,
is a dentist here in the Birmingham area.
Right.
Just opening up her own practice, I understand.
In Homewood.
And what is it in regards to learning the Word of God that appeals to you?
Well, the more I learn about the Word of God, the better I live. And it seems like when my wife and I study the Word of God, our marriage is on the right track. And I've been with her. We've been dating for over 6 years. And if we make ourselves study, our relationship's a lot better. There's been times in our relationship we've gotten away from it, and our relationship gets worse. And the more we study, the more there's situations in life that arise that, you know, they don't really bother you that much, but when you're studying the Word of God, something goes off in your head and say, "Hey, wait a minute, I need to avoid this," and you just stay on the right track. And the more I study, the more I stay involved with it, the better I live. And I just want to be, that's how I want to be. I want to study more. I want to be a good husband. I want my marriage to be successful. And the Word of God is the way to do that. I have no question in my mind.
Have you not found anyone that could teach it to you yet? You haven't been able to find a pastor where you've really been learning these things?
Well, if it wasn't for my father, I would not have a background to know where I need to go. And when I found you, I knew, hey, this is where I need to go. I just have not found someone that inspires me to learn more, and you do that. And I just, you know, it's a great feeling because I want more and more of it. And I've not found a church where, oh, I can't, you know, I don't want to leave. And when I listen to your show, 30 minutes is over, and I want to listen to more. You know, I'm like, I wish I could go ahead and get, you know, listen to next week's now.
Well, that's what happens when you get under a qualified Bible teacher. Time just flies, because I know when I would sit under my pastor, who pastored his church for 53 years, he would teach an hour at a time, and I would just, like, it seemed like I'd be there 5 minutes, because first of all, it was almost like he was talking right to me. I guess that was the Holy Spirit doing all of that, but the information that he presented never was boring to me.
Right.
You know, I never found myself filling in the C's and the D's and the B's and the bulletin, you know, and didn't daydream. I found myself taking notes, taking my Bible, taking my notebook and writing the notes down, and then going home and studying the notes. And fortunately, he had an extensive tape ministry, so I would order the tapes and listen, you know, on the side. And as I grew and as I learned, a lot of people wrote me off. A lot of people say I was weird, you know, and you got into something you don't need to be into, because I love this guy so much. He was teaching me so much, and organized religion wasn't teaching me anything. And I was beginning to see the fallacy of that. One of the fallacies that I saw one time, I was speaking in a church in South Mississippi, and a guy wanted to take an offering for me, and I wouldn't let him do it. I told the pastor, I don't want you to take an offering for me. He said, well, this is how we pay our speaker. And my comment was, don't pay me. I don't need the money. If we're going to ask lost people to come hear me speak, let's don't pass an offering plate. I didn't know that was evil at the time, but I've since learned that sort of thing, asking for money and appealing for money and soliciting money, is evil. Now, it's not evil to take an offering in a church. I don't want people to misunderstand that. That's perfectly legitimate for a church to do that. But in order for me to appeal to money or ask for money, I don't ever want to be involved in that. And does that make sense to you?
It does.
And these are some of the things that I've seen, some of the things I had to learn. I was such a dummy, it's taken me a lifetime to learn things. But when I learn these things, then I'm able to apply them into my life and into my ministry. And the first thing that I had to learn, one of the first things was about sin. I told you about that. Then I had to learn what arrogance was and how arrogant I was many times. And then to get involved in learning evil. Let me run some principles by you, Dennis, and feel free to comment as we go through some of this. But evil is the policy of Satan as the ruler of this world. It's his method of operation in the world, his modus operandi, we call it. From the time of his fall in eternity past, when he has said that in his arrogance that he wanted to be like God, until now, he is the current ruler of this world. You know that. And he offered the rulership to Christ if Christ would just worship him. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ said no. And evil attempts to produce a system of good in mankind and in society that would bring in this sort of utopia. See, that's what Satan wants. He wants to be vindicated. People don't understand this, but Satan does not want to go to the lake of fire. He doesn't want to be in the lake of fire forever. And picture this. If we can use a courtroom analogy, Dennis, let's picture Satan appealing his conviction before God in eternity past, where he said, this is not fair. And you could see him saying, you created me, and you knew I was going to sin, so why did you create me? It's your fault, God. And picture God say, look, I'm going to grant you an appeal. You think I'm unfair? I'll give you another trial. Usually, when you have another trial, you have a change of venue. And so we're going to move this trial to earth. It's not in heaven. It's in earth. And we're going to have witnesses against him. Who were the first two witnesses? Adam and Eve. So what was Satan's first objective? Get these two witnesses disqualified so they can't testify against me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to get them to sin. And he deceived the woman, but he didn't deceive Adam. Adam knew what he was doing. I think Adam had to make a choice. Am I going to choose God or the woman? And he chose the woman. Maybe he thought God wouldn't kick them both out of the garden. I don't know. But Satan is in the appeal stage of the angelic conflict, and he has a policy that if he could issue in a utopia, if he could issue in perfect happiness apart from the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and his own kingdom, if he could do that, then God would exonerate him, or God would, you know, justify him and let him off the hook. So part of the concept of evil is to make everybody nice, brotherhood of man, you know, that sort of deal. And the thing that Satan cannot control is your sin nature. You got one. I know you got a sin nature because you were an offensive lineman. So every offensive lineman has got a double dose of the sin nature. And he can't control your sin nature, see, nor mine. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. Now, God's plan controls our sin nature. See, so the grace of God, what controls our sin nature? The Holy Spirit. And rebound. So when we confess our sin, we're filled with the Spirit. We're not walking in the flesh. Well, anybody that's trying to adhere to Satan's policy of evil is always walking in the flesh because they got a sin nature, and all they're really trying to do is polish up their sin nature or clean up their sin nature so it doesn't do bad things anymore. Does that make sense to you?
Makes sense.
So evil is a system whereby Satan administers rulership over this world. And evil has two sources, sin. That can be evil, like drug abuse and the occult. We read the letter from Frank. Or it can be religion. And that's the very thing that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ. So if Satan is not capable of controlling the world that he rules today, then he can't control you either, because you have volition, you have the right to choose, and you have a sin nature. And if Satan could control you, he wouldn't want you learning the Bible. He wouldn't want you growing in grace. He wouldn't want you seeing the promises of God that are in the Word of God for you. So there's a system called the cosmic system. And you know what that is? It's the world. It's the cosmos. I sometimes picture it as a cosmic vortex or a tornado, and it sucks people into it. You know, you went to college. Remember, if you want to have a good time, let's party hardy. If you want to have a good time, you know, do this, do that.
Right.
And like myself, you found out that ain't it.
It's not.
It leaves you empty, doesn't it?
It does. It really. You think you're going to fulfill yourself, and you go home, and you're not fulfilled at all. You're still looking for something better.
Yep. It just leaves you with a lot of guilt.
Right.
So there are two ways to think, human viewpoint or divine viewpoint. So human viewpoint, that's what your friends tell you. This is what fun is, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll hear it, this is evil. This is very evil. Dream your dreams. You know, dream your dreams. You can succeed. You can fulfill your destiny. Dream your dreams. And we hear that today in America. But that's not what God teaches. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that there's a door that you're to walk through called a personal sense of destiny. And there's even a passage in Jeremiah where God says, look, let the people that talk about their dreams, let them chase their dreams. I don't endorse that. I don't sponsor that. And what God sponsors and endorses is people that learn His Word and grow up and become mature believers. There's nothing wrong with having a dream, as long as that's not your motivating driving factor in your life. Because the motivating driving factor in your life, the Bible says, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these other things will be added to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's human viewpoint. Thinking evil, and that dishonors Christ. And the issue is divine viewpoint. Okay, so what's divine viewpoint? Well, that's what's in the Bible. That's the Word of God. That's divine viewpoint. See the concept here? So the battle is thought versus thought. So Satan wants you to think his way, and God wants you to think his way. So where's the battlefield for your life? It's what you think. See it? And people don't realize that. Their thoughts are being assaulted every day. Their thoughts are being attacked every day. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the real Dennis Deason is between your ears. It's right up there. And that's your soul. That's the invisible part of you. That's the part that Julie can't see, I can't see. Only God can read your mind. So he knows what you're thinking. And a lot of people live a lie by trying to do one thing and think another way. And boy, does that ever catch up with you in the end. So evil is disguised in many different forms. It comes in many different ways, but Satan tries to get you thinking his way. You know, I could talk about altruistic humanitarianism, or I could talk about philanthropy or religion or legalism or socialism or political internationalism. You know, these are all concepts that Satan sponsors. Gun legislation, do away with all the guns and we won't have any more crime, you know, and we know that's a joke. So it's this whole idea that government can control your life, and if we abolish riches, and if we can abolish sickness, and we can make sure everybody's economically the same, and sort of gets into socialism, you know. And I guess the premier evil thing in government is socialism, which that's what I would think. So only the Word of God can solve the world's problems, and not socialism, and not Satan's system. So evil can include social action, a social gospel, and here's what a lot of people don't know. I'll run this by you. You probably don't know this, but evil that in the Bible, did you know Satan actually has ministers? Did you know that?
I did not.
Yeah. First of all, listen to this. There's a counterfeit gospel. Now, we know the gospel to be the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. But there's a counterfeit gospel in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. There are also counterfeit ministers in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. There's counterfeit doctrine called doctrine of demons in 1 Timothy 4, 1. There's even a counterfeit communion table in 2 Corinthians 10, 19 through 21. So Satan has all these counterfeits out there. Counterfeit spirituality, the Bible says in Galatians 3, 2 and 3. A counterfeit righteousness in Matthew 19, 16. So all of these false teachers, all of this counterfeit stuff, all this hypocritical facade, all the use of human public relations as a system of flirtation to get people involved in our church or in our religion, they appeal to arrogance and pride. And this is why the thinking thing is important. What Satan is trying to get you to do is learn to think like he thinks. So evil has to be learned. You follow me with that?
Well, let me ask you this. How do you know what you're hearing, whether it's right or wrong?
That's a great question. Does it come from the Bible? And sometimes people can say, well, yeah, here it is right here, but did they take it out of context? But mostly, as you study the Bible from the original languages, you'll find that there's only one right way to interpret something. And if someone takes something out of text and interprets it the wrong way, for example, Romans 8. Can you find it right there in that Bible in front of you? It's right back before 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Romans 8. And Romans 8, chapter 1. Let me get it over here. He's trying to find his way through my Bible, and it's got notes everywhere. If you read Romans 8, chapter 1, you'll find, let's see, here we are right here. Romans 8, 1. Now read this. This is a standard King James Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. And you'll see I got some stuff scratched out, but read it to me.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Jesus Christ.
Keep going.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Now you see I got it crossed out, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you read that in the King James, it would say there is no condemnation to the ones that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, which seems to indicate that if you walk after the flesh, you're condemned. And if you walk after the Spirit, you're not condemned. That's not what the verse says in the original language. In the original language, it says there are no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So your condemnation is based on your position in Christ or not in Christ, not based on what you do or don't do. So a person that might teach that verse wouldn't teach it from the original language. And so they'd say, if you want to go to heaven, you can't drink, you can't smoke, you know, you can't dance, you know, you can't listen to rock and roll music, you can't, and you get into all this legalism, because they'd take that verse and prove it. See the point?
Yes, sir.
So when you go to the original languages and when you get into the Word of God, then you can see what the Bible really does teach. So evil has to be learned. And it's a false doctrine. It's a false motivation in the believer's life, and it gets him into thinking like Satan thinks. And once people learn to think like this, once they get trapped in this, it's almost impossible to get them out. Almost impossible. But the spiritual life has to be learned too. So if you learn truth under the filling of the Holy Spirit. You're controlled by the Spirit. You're filled by the Spirit. You're sitting under a qualified pastor, and you're learning truth. It's a lot better than learning evil under control of your old sin nature.
Well, people that believe they're doing right and doing the right things to go to heaven, and they're not, how do you get to the people, this kind of person? What do you do to reach this person, to teach this person?
Nothing. Can't do anything. I mean, nobody did anything get to you. You had a hunger in your heart that would not be quenched until you heard the truth. You knew from your parents teaching you as a young child what truth was, and you would go and hear stuff, and you knew it wasn't true. And so it's just like a fisherman. He has a hunger to catch a fish, and he's going to keep fishing until he figures out how to do it. Well, you kept looking until you figured out where the truth was, and you found it. Some people don't want to know the truth. Some people are happy with what they've got. That used to just really bug me when I first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ and I got under a good pastor that was teaching me. I wanted to know why people didn't want to know what I want to know. Why didn't everybody want to know this? So I went and started telling everybody what I knew, and they looked at me like I was weird, like, you have gone off the deep end. You're nuts. So you can't reach people. The only person you can ever change in your life is Dennis Deason. You're responsible for what Dennis Deason thinks, says, and does, and nobody else. And they're responsible before God for their decisions. And the grace of God is so wonderful that if anybody anywhere in this city is hungry for truth, God will direct them to it, just like he directed you to this radio show. That's how wonderful it is. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as he thinks in his heart, so he is. Evil has to be ingrained. Evil has to be learned. It has to be infiltrated into your thought process. And once it's there, it's almost impossible to unlearn it. Unless you have enough humility to admit you can't live up to the expectations of what the evil religion says you're supposed to do, or you get fed up with a double standard, one of the two. Either people say, this is all a bunch of bull and I can't live up to this, or they get fed up with the double standard of seeing the preacher say one thing and doing something else, you know. And then they turn off church and they don't go anymore and they say it's just all a bunch of bull. Because most people who get fed up either bail out and leave or stay there and play the game and just get seduced by the evil that they're involved in. It's very vicious. And people that are into organized evil or organized religion or this human viewpoint way of thinking, they're very vicious people. They will turn on you if they can't manipulate you. If they can't get you to think like they think, they'll turn on you. And they will discredit you, and they'll tell everybody you're a weirdo, you're a nut. I mean, I faced this in my life. As I learned the Word of God, I had friends that turned on me and said I was crazy. You know, I had gotten studying under a guy, and this guy, you know, and I was offering this weird stuff. And yet 37 years later, what are they saying? When God still opens doors and God is still using me. See, I wasn't crazy, and I had found truth for the first time in my life. And I was hungry for truth, and I wanted truth, and I couldn't be manipulated by people that were not going to give me truth. So the religious, self-righteous person thrives on evil because it feeds his ego. He loves it, and it feeds his ego. But the believer that has enough of the Word of God is not in it for an ego trip. You know, and this is what I know about you and your dad as well. You're not in it for an ego trip. You're in it because you want to know what the Word of God says. Right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to let Dennis come back with us next week, and we'll continue doing some more of this. So I hope you'll stay tuned. This is Rick Hughes. This is The Flatline. I sure am glad you tuned in to our show today. We have a lot more to say. I hope I'm not confusing you about the subtlety of evil. Just remember that evil is human viewpoint thinking. It is Satan's genius. It's when he takes the grace of God and twists it around, and the most evil thing in the world is organized religion. If you don't believe it, who do you think we're having a war with today? The terrorists that we're fighting are very religious people, and they call us the devil. Can you imagine that? Thank you for listening to The Flatline. This is Rick Hughes.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write Rick Hughes, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at BigRick.org. Join us next week for another edition of The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes, on 960 WERC.